session number 25525.
Richard Hughes, Reel 2. What sort of ship was HMS Barham?
Barham was a battleship, First World War. She had 8 15-inch guns and 12 6-inch guns in batteries. My first job when I was a guard, Austin was in the, well, my action station was in the 6-inch batteries, carting the shells back and forth.
What was your first impression when you arrived aboard?
Well, I thought of one who had never seen a battleship before. It was a bit overawed, but they didn't give you time to think too long about it. And they do what but in fact it went long before and I mainly joined it. Given you part of the ship, I think I was a topman. First thing you had to do was to clean up the ship after the dockyard business. Yeah. The next thing was the spring cruise came up. And I found myself where I joined the Navy. We went on a West Indies cruise. So, we called it Lisbon, Madeira, and then out to Barbados. People wouldn't believe it. And that was about 6 months. I came home and then that was in 1935, just about. I left the Barham, went about and joined the Royal Sovereign. That was in 1935, the Jubilee year. So we it was quite a do really, the Jubilee business. But it has rather some nasty memories for me. I went and a favourite sister of mine, she died when I was aboard there during the Jubilee week. So the boys instructor took me along to see the commander. Commander Lovett, I think his name was. Very nice chap. And he said, give him money out of the canteen funds, send him home and do what. So I went on leave. They gave me a week off. I thought there were a lot of celebrations going up and down the country. Yes, they buried my sister up there. And I was new to come back. And of course, needless to say, I was with the rupture of the trains and all that thing, I was adrift. But they never bothered about that. They just sent me, said, carry on with your work, and I'm sure you carried on.
How long did you serve on HMS Sovereign?
On the
Royal Sovereign.
I think I Oh, till December. Oh, from the 6th of December to the 5th of February. That was 35 to 36.
And what was your job? What was your job? What was your job on board?
Well, I was a seaman, so more or less everything was done on the upper deck. But of course you were taught as well, you were given instructions whilst you went along, especially with the rope splicing and that kind of thing. That's all part of it. And I was on there, the Sovereign, as I say, for the Jubilee. There, I don't know.
What conditions like aboard for a boy seaman?
Well, of course, not. No one ever had to ask them. You made the conditions as you wanted them. I mean, if you wanted a clean ship, you kept the ship clean, and there was people to making sure that you did so. Down the hall, I was in the boxing team and the Sovereign. I played for the ship's football team and so on. I was only, well, 16, 17. So my time aboard there was quite good. Only 6 months were usual.
What about the living conditions? Where was your mess?
Well, there again, as I say, the Navy's always been what you make it. And if you had one or two people who weren't interested in their cleanliness or things, you sorted them out. But on the whole, it was good. They fed you and they trained you for what you were meant to do. So there was really no complaint at all from me.
How many of you were there in a mess?
Well, each mess, especially the old broadside mess, was about 12 to 14. And you had the old duos, and you weren't there again. You used to go and fetch your food from the galley and bring it down. That was the boys' mess, but the senior messes, they used to look after themselves. They used to have what they called the canteen messing, which I don't think many know about, where you prepared your own feed and just took the galley and then they cooked it for you and you cleaned it, which was a good idea.
What were the sleeping arrangements like? Sleeping arrangements?
Well, there was all hammock. That was all right. You had the crowbars and you all slept head to tail kind of thing, sling the hammock from the hammock bars. It was all right, I used to enjoy it, it was quite good. Yeah. The hammock. But what are you getting out in the morning? Everybody's legs going the wrong way. But he was all right. I'm in the hammock, excuse me. Still in being when I came out of the service. So.
Did you have to work a watch system as a boy?
Well, that depends on what you're doing. If when you came as a boy, you didn't do watches, you did messengers' jobs and that kind of thing. And once you came up to ordinary steamer and naval steamer, that thing you did kind of duty watches, which you're all claiming some was for the benefit of the ship, and that would be the duty watch. And then you would have, if you were at sea, you would have the sea watch crew do it, so that kind of thing.
Did you receive any schooling?
Now that was all done at Chotley. But you were certainly given training seamanship wise aboard a ship, and of course gunnery wise as well. If you were, I mean, used to have to do a practice run on the guns, go out and do a practice shoot. I meant you were running the shells up and down the battery, the casement, dropping them off at each gun as you went by. That's the way it was. Good. But that, of course, I think died off very much.
What happened after Royal Sovereign?
Well, then I went into the barracks. Go look at my notes, yeah. I left the Royal Sovereign on the 6th of December 1935. Oh no, that's when I joined her. Until February 36. I went into barracks. February 36 to the 20th of February 36. And I was assigned to the Dorsetshire on the 25th of February 36. And I went to get out to join the Dorsetshire. She was already in on the China station. And I were assigned to a trooper in New Aurelia. That's right. And of course, that was something new. So I joined the New Aurelia down in Southampton.
How long did you expect to be away?
Well, you looked at terms of foreign commissions then of 2.5 years, but the Dorsetshire's already been on station for 12 months, so I was only just going up to top up losses, I suppose. But when I got out there, we were right on calm. So 12 weeks later, if you know, it was only 6 and 12 hours. The 12 weeks later. And of course, the compliment to the trooper was a mixed bag. Military, RAF, and Navy boys. It wasn't too bad. I don't think many of our boys agreed with the system of trooping.
What happened to you when you joined the Dorsetshire?
Dorsetshire, we arrived out there, honestly, somebody. She was in dock in Kowloon at the time. So I don't know how many of us there was, but a dozen, I think. And we joined her while she was still in dock. She had a bit of a refit or something. And from there, of course, Hong Kong was good. Had all the facilities at the dockside, football fields and Duart. And from then on, my first job aboard there was the commander's runner. Something very new to me. He was a nice chap, Commander Rakeen. And he was very understanding as well, although he knew bloody well, I'd only just get out there. And he followed him around everywhere. And of course, what a bit of a hiccup. I hadn't been there a week, I don't think it would. And ship's officers decided to throw a cocktail party. So I was given a bunch of invitations to take a show to dignitaries, deliver them in, right? Of course, I'd never been in Hong Kong before, so no idea where to go. So eventually I got the ones delivered around Hong Kong all right itself, but I had to go across to Kowloon. And of course, asking various people where this is and where that is, and going up in the cable car. Anyway, I was afraid I had to bring that one back. I didn't make it. So I had to come out of the understanding, so he said, oh, that's all right. So then I became a prominent member of the football team aboard. And at the time, the Abyssinian trouble was on. Oh, Ray Selassie was in trouble, I mean, so they had to bring up the complement of the armaments. So I qualified as Seaman Gunner aboard HMS Dorsetshire, which is a good thing. There was 12 of us.
What did that involve?
Well, it's all it meant, really, handling a rifle, being able to man any of the guns that were aboard the turrets. She had 4 8-inch turrets. And knew what, I think, of course. But the first thing that really, this was the class as a whole. One of our messmates died there. And of course, with all our gear and the training we'd had with rifles, and, you know, we suited the fit. So we were made down as a burial party.
What? How did he die? How did he die?
I don't know, I think he'd probably drunk a bit too much. He was, he was an elderly bloke, and he'd been in the army for quite some time. He was a nice old chap, but he liked his beer. I think that's how his lot came about. But the thing you used to do was you used to go ashore, and of course, and that kind of thing, especially in Hong Kong. You had the China Fleet Club. That was all right, it was a good club.
Did you see much of Hong Kong?
Well, I can't say it really. I'm just seeing change now terrifically since the day when there was one street. And down there, you'd go down and you find yourself getting to the naughty end of Hong Kong, which was very used to, it was not too good. Had that tamer there, of course, but you would. But the best part of Hong Kong was Happy Valley, that was the sports ground there. Play a lot of football on there. And,
how long were you in Hong Kong?
I went from, well, we went up Hong Kong. The next port of call was Shanghai. We made a call up there and we went up to cover the withdrawal of the Gurkhas and the Welsh Regiment. They were stationed there. China and America were caused a bother, and so we wouldn't have to cover their withdrawal, and we came from there. So. I wasn't out there. I came home for the armistice business, but
how long were you out in the Far East?
When did we come home? June. Yeah, we came over in June 1937. And from there, I went into barracks. June the 15th of June, that's right, 37. To the 26th, 37. And I joined the Rodney on the 27th. On the 27th of August, 1937. That's right. She had just come out of a refit.
Where did you join her?
In Devonport, yeah, she was in Devonport.
And tell me about the Rodney. Where did you mess? Where was your mess?
In the Rodney. We were all in broadside mess. I'm trying to think what mess I was in. I was a quarter deck one. '66 mess, that's right, yes, on the port, even numbers on the port, right, so that's right, isn't it? Good, yeah.
Yeah. And what, you were a seaman?
A seaman, yes.
An ordinary seaman or a leading seaman by that stage? What was your rank?
Oh, I was never seaman then. And then, of course, in 1939, the alarm bell started to ring. And I'd already passed for leading seaman. And, of course, they brought the compliment. Oh, Mickey, get ready for wartime compliment. And I got made a leading seaman then in February, that's right. 1938. Yes, that's right. That was September 1940. That's right.
1940. 40. You made a leading.
And that.
Can I just ask you a little bit about life aboard HMS Rodney? You were in a broadside mess.
In a broadside mess, yes. I had 66 mess. It was a small one.
You were a seaman. What was your action station?
Action station, if I first went aboard, was in the magazine or in the shell handling room of B turret. I worked the grab to get the shell into the hoist, and one of the boys pushed it into the hoist to go up to the turret.
So you were down in the magazine?
I was down in the magazine, yeah. Of course, I was a seaman gunner, I'd already qualified and aboard Dorsetshire.
What was it like down in the magazine?
I was fortunate enough to get out of there before the big stuff started, because I'd qualified seaman gunner, and they wanted to convert a lot of the seaman gunner to AA ratings because there was a desperate shortage of them. So I was moved from the main arm and to the pom poms. That was, of course, I was made an AA3 from thence without any qualification to it.
So that had happened before the war started?
No, the war had started actually when all this, the bits and pieces started, because in 1939 we were up in Scapa. Of course, before then, there was a 1938, I joined the Roddy in 37. We did a bit of a spring cruise, went up around Norwegian Fjord and places like that. And from there, we went across to Bangor in Northern Ireland. And that brought us back into 1938. We came down for the Navy Week in 1938. We didn't do it in 37. 1938 we did. And after the Navy Week we went round to Portsmouth to have the RDF fitted, one of the first ships at all to have radar like that, so we had those fitted. And whilst you were in there, I was watching this on the TV last night, it was Chamberlain, he'd Hitler was making a bit of a fuss over it out there, so he do it. So,
how did you react to the build-up of war?
Well, I suppose like all young brains, let's have a go at them kind of thing. I mean, but we were well situated, and I'm afraid I nearly missed it all. As well, she was in Portsmouth. This business of Chamberlain and Hitler were having a go, so they started preparing things. Then I had a pier-head jump to our drifter. She was in Portsmouth doing a bit of a refit. No idea where we were going. So yeah, watch them, you, so, of course they get your kit back and get it aboard the drifter. So we did that. The next thing we knew, we were sailing for Scotland. So you can imagine, from the Rodney into a drifter, quite a drop. We've been out 2 days, I think. Gordon Stephen North must be about off at Newcastle or something. And of course, that man came back with a bit of paper, and it was all squared. So they recalled us back down to Portsmouth, so that was 4 days, rough going.
What was your reaction to the outbreak of war?
About the...
How did you feel about the outbreak of war?
Well, we were all used to it. We were in Scafford at the time. And all waiting for the broadcast to come. And that was quite really, I don't think it sunk in till it actually started. We were in Scapa, we had left and gone up to Scapa. 1939, well, when the war started. And that's where we were when the actual outbreak of war came in Scapafloo, along with the Nelson and a lot of other big ships. And within a couple of hours of it being announced that we were at war with Germany, we had sailed out, just a token thing, I think it was. So, I remember we out anywhere, we didn't go far, just around the Stewart there, as well, let everybody know the Navy was about. And we came back. On the way back, returning to harbour, Nelson caught a mine. So that created a big disturbance, didn't it? She transferred all her, because she had this flag aboard, and they transferred all the flag to the Rodney. And with it, everything was upset. I had a good job there. I became cabin hand to the chief of staff, the CNC, or the CNC staff.